This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Agribusiness Today is on location for the Brandt Spotlight. We're out of the Brandt Research Facility. Ed Corrigan stands next to us on a beautiful, beautiful day for harvest. The bean fields are just about done. Ed, as you look across here for what the neighbors' farms have done, what the Brandt Research Facility does, and what the drive out from Springfield looks like, people have been busy. Dry weather has allowed harvest to progress rapidly.
So, you know, we knew we had a good crop, especially corn this year, and everyone was waiting for the moisture to go down to about that 20% would be ideal. And when it hit 20% or less, the growers really went after it. They understand how important it is, but they didn't really want to pay for a lot of drying. And now that's coming out. Of course, they're dropping their heads on the corn if they've still got corn left, and they're going to beans. Beans are ready. They've started harvesting the last weekend here, some just a little before. Now we're harvesting today. We got done with our corn here at the research farm, and we're actually taking out a lot of 10, 11, some 12% moisture beans, which is really pretty good for us.
You know, you say you wait for it to dry down. I remember a couple of years ago, people waited for the corn to dry down. It was like magically extra dry in a week. People kind of sometimes thought, maybe I waited too long. I don't know if people are saying that about beans. You can kind of re-moisture beans a little bit if you wait or if it starts to rain eventually. But the harvest conditions are still pretty good.
So the beans, you know, are a funny animal in that they actually start out early in the harvest process during the day. And they'll be usually running about that 12 or 13%. And by the time you get to that evening after the sun's hit them all afternoon, they may be down at 9%. So it's a moving target every day. And you know you just can't manage it 100%. Growers try and harvest them earlier when they're a little bit damper, trying to get them maybe when they're 14 or 15 and put them in a bin, put some air on them. That works, but it doesn't work for everyone, and they are much harder to get through the combine.
You, like everybody, just been managing some of these heavy, dewy mornings. You know, for the rest of us that just walk across the front yard and the shoes wind up soaking wet at, you know, 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning for farming, that's a different problem, different challenge.
It really is, and so the farmers have to work as late as they possibly can. They have their own grain elevators. They can work really late into the night before the dew hits again and starts causing some problems. You know, they may work till 11 to maybe midnight or 1 o'clock. But if you're working with an elevator, you're probably set on whatever that elevator's hours are. And so the guys do a good job of managing their time as best they can.
Bean plots are disappearing. You don't have all of that information just yet, but you've been in the combine cab a little bit. You've seen what Eric Winans is sending out to and some updates and whatnot. Ed, how are these yields looking right now on the bean side?
So, you know, this is our first day of really harvesting beans. We're really focused on what the trials are trying to tell us. And number one, it looks like we're getting some good yields. They're not as big a yield as we've had in the past, but we're seeing some 80s and 90s rolling in. We're seeing some differences between varieties like you normally would. Some are standing better than others, and of course yield is a component of that standability. So we're excited to see what's happening. Yesterday afternoon after we calibrated the combine, we saw some of the new seed treatments start to play a big role in giving us some additional yield. We were seeing that 3, 4, 5 more bushel per acre out of a seed treatment, and that's going to be something that we'll be able to build on for next year.
Do you know everybody that drives by the research facility? Everybody honks and waves at Ed Corrigan.
So, you know, if you got a red shirt on, they're going to honk.
The seed treatments, some of the ones that you've been working on are being crafted by Brandt, and you're pretty excited right now about some of the early returns on what you're seeing with some of these kind of in-house formulations now.
So, you know, as we look at the market and what's going on, we see lots of need to develop micronutrients that fit within the way farmers farm. And today, a lot of growers don't really have the time. They really understand it's important to get planted quickly and early in the spring to maximize yields. The easiest way to accomplish planting is to just put something directly on the seed. And so if we can get a talc product that helps the flowability of that bean or corn plant seed that's going through that planter and help with the plantability, and then also now take a brand new chemistry that was developed here by some of our lab team to add zinc or add molybdenum, other elements and enzymes, and get more yield, that is actually going to make it so easy for growers to manage their planting and do it quickly and get more yield.
The steps are great if you got a seed treater at your operation, if you've got a seed treating company or outfit that you like to work with, that's great. But I mean, sometimes you just need to plant, or you want to plant, or you've got an area that you just don't want to put all that extra work into. So if you can manage some of that, not too difficultly, not in a too difficult nature by yourself, that's got to make it easy.
So that's the fun part of it. You can actually take and kind of write a prescription for the type of nutrition or enzymes that you'd like for a specific field and add that at the time you're planting that field. You don't necessarily have to have the same exact mix on every field. So it's really focusing in on how to help that field do the most. And we're looking at trials from across the states as to which ones responded in what conditions. And we'll have some of those guidelines for hopefully 2023.
Last time we talked, you were getting some corn-on-corn yield data back. And now you've got some corn-on-bean data back. What's this year tell you?
So this year is really a unique year. For the last over 10 years, it's been about 2010, the last time we really had corn-on-corn do as equally well as corn-on-beans. And this year, we're seeing corn-on-corn and corn-on-beans be very equivalent to each other. All the hybrids that we look at out here at the research farm, corn-on-beans, are matching up almost exactly to our corn-on-corn. So 300 bushel is really looking easy when you've got that nutrition in the soil from last winter.
So you're getting back a lot of its management. It always seems to be, but a lot of it's management.
It really is. Management plays a key role in high yields. We've always seen that if you can get the nitrogen to the plant and then help the plant through other 14 elements that all plants live on, if you can get those in balance, you can push that nutrition up through the plant and really assist it to put on the high yields for you. And so that's what Brandt does. We really focus on not spending more on nitrogen, but spending more on potassium, manganese, boron, some of the things that really assist the plant to utilize the nitrogen it already has.
Red stalks, we talked a little bit about it last week, but if people didn't catch that, or they've still been seeing them, or they're all of a sudden now wondering what that was, wait a second, I heard something about that recently. If you're harvesting a cornfield with a bunch of red stalks and there's an area that's got green stalks, did you just plant something unique for a couple of rows, or what was happening?
So there is such a thing as some genetics having a little bit more of a redness to them. But typically that redness, if it's the same hybrid in particular, you'll see that the red areas are going to yield a little less. They've got extra sugars built up in that, creating that redness. And that tends to mean that that plant needed some other nutrition, some other balance to help it move those sugars and utilize them in the plant correctly. And so it's up a lot of times what we're seeing is potassium deficiencies, some of the sulfur deficiencies, things that really help make nitrogen more useful to the plant. When we get to a nice green stalk, it's usually a much better looking, healthier stalk. And then it's also on the yield monitors, coming in at higher yields.
Talking to Eddie Corrigan today, agronomist with Brandt, on today's Brandt Spotlight. They're doing their work in the combine, Ed. When the folks in the Dominican Republic come out to tour the research facility, they're just going to see a lot of bare ground.
So you can we just have to point to it and say, well, here's where you would have seen this. And they really don't produce a lot of corn and soybeans in the Dominican, but they do utilize some of the Brandt foliar nutrition, and so it works very similar on rice, some of their other crops of sugarcane. So We can assist them with trying to get more yield to feed that area just like we would in Illinois.
When we were talking about the folks, the Dominican Republican being here, you slipped by me that, well, I know a little something about bananas. What does Ed Corrigan know about the way banana plants grew?
So bananas are something that we studied a few years back as we were launching through Dr. Raymond that came to Brandt. He brought over some individuals from the Ivory Coast, and they are big into banana production. So you sit and listen to their problems of how do they get better bananas, and those guys give you the keys as to what the problems are, and then we just come up with the formulations to make those bananas produce more. So we all know, and I have a banana at least every day, if not two. They're really good in potassium, so you've got to have a way in which that banana tree can take up and utilize potassium, and we know boron has a big role. So there's small little things that we can do to banana trees to make them actually produce better bananas.
You think when I pick up my banana at the grocery store that it's been treated with or helped along with a Brandt product?
We'd like to think so. If it's a good, big, healthy one, yes. If it's a brown, old one, I'm probably not.
Well, those go in the freezer at my house, be turned into banana bread, and they never actually get turned into banana bread. They just sit in the bottom of the freezer until we throw away about a dozen bananas. Is that the same thing happened to you?
Well, you know, it's kind of back to if the electricity goes off, you find those and you make something.
Yeah, it's about time. But all kidding aside, a little bit about the banana crop, what you're doing with some of those folks from the DR. As they look to feed a rice crop there, you think that there's some lessons to be learned to maybe feed a wheat crop in the United States. As important as the rice harvest is for them and their nutrition, the wheat harvest here in the U.S. is just as equally as important. You think there could be some lessons to be learned across those two species of plants?
So, you know, they've got obviously a different weather pattern than we have. You know, we're a little bit on the dry side in most of our areas that we produce wheat, but they are actually utilizing one of our products that we built for transplants, and they're spraying it on foliar and getting tremendous results. And so it actually, in a wheat terminology, means that they get a plant started, they'll put this product foliar on the rice, and then it'll give more tillers. And so it'll take a plant that started out with 9 tillers and push it to 17 tillers, and then it'll actually push more grain on those tillers. So they are very excited about that, and it makes me think maybe we've been missing something. Maybe here in the States we can start pushing our wheat yields through the same process in at least years where we've got enough moisture to produce wheat.
Travel to South Africa, the DR, and then Talc USA in North Dakota. There are some places that are great to go to than some of the other ones. You do want to be careful on what you go to, depending on what season it is.
Yeah, you know that the weather isn't always what drives us there. It's usually when the grower in that particular area is not doing a lot of harvesting. And so Canada continues to be one of those things that happens in the winter, and it's because it's their schedule. It's not necessarily my time that I'd like to go.
Ed, you and Dr. Winans are thinking about maybe him more than you. I don't know, but the plan for next year is already kind of underway out here as we look at now what all of this is follow ground.
So it really will be quickly we'll start putting together a nutrition plan to get that nutrition started, the base. And we'll still continue to run this omission trial system, which means we do a lot of everything everywhere. You know, the right amount of nutrition of phosphorus and potassium and sulfur. You do it the right timing. But then you take it away in some places to see what that response was. And so that still is going to be part of the process. But as this combining, harvesting winds down, Tommy Kimes will actually be jumping into the sprayer, coming over and applying fertilizer, lightly telling it to follow the Nutrient Research and Education Council. If you lightly till that soybean ground or corn ground, that'll help move it in contact with the soil, and it'll reduce the amount of phosphorus loss by 90%. So we follow all the guidelines we can as if we were doing something a grower would do.
Said Corrigan out here at the Brandt Research Facility on the day where we have the Brandt Spotlight outside underneath the bright spotlight of a clear fall day. Beautiful day, Ed.
It's a beautiful day. This is when it's fun to be out here, and especially it's fun if you're out away from the grain dust.
Yeah, we appropriately kept ourselves far away from the back end of the combine with all that soybean dust. Ed, good to see you.
Thank you. Have a great week, everyone.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.